Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love. We love, no, not just for some, but for everyone.
Well, greetings. Welcome to Time to Love. I am Lydia. I am your lighthouse of love, teaching, motivating, and guiding you on your journey to loving yourself. Who else? It does begin with ourselves, and when we love ourselves, then I believe we can truly love others. Yes. If you have listened to my show on Saturdays, or any of my shows at all, last Saturday or any shows, you know, you happen to know that I do think a lot. I ponder, ruminate, really, really meditate over my topics. And, you know, some days the ideas just come, and they can come from anywhere. They can come from a book or an article or a friend, or in this case, today's topic came from a dream. Yep, that's right. I woke up last Saturday, and you know that part of you that you're in a dream and you remember, you know you're in a dream, but you also know you're about ready to wake up. It was very, very clear. And all of a sudden I heard myself say, homeostasis? And then another voice said, homeostasis. And so then I answered, homeostasis. And then, poof, I was awake. Well, you know, a lot of times I did have the thought, oh, I should write that down. And then my next thought was, I'm not going to forget that. Yeah, I've done that one before. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, and then I'll just completely forget about it. Well, then I was getting ready for my show with Chrissy Bales. And if you have not heard that, it was absolutely amazing. Way to go, Chrissy. Anyway, I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden the word homeostasis comes into my mind again. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that dream. So it was like something really wanted me to remember this. So I did. I looked up the definition, and I marveled, and not for the very first time, how amazing our bodies are. And I knew that it would be my topic for this week. Yes, spiritual homeostasis, our soul's balancing act. In case you don't remember from high school or college or whatever, you're not in the medical field, homeostasis is defined as the tendency of a body to maintain its internal stability. Just like when it's really hot outside, your body might perspire more, and that's to keep your body cool, keep it safe. Homeostasis comes from the Greek word meaning same or stable, and our bodies are constantly managing complex interactions to keep them on an even keel. And our bodies constantly strive to balance and regulate its environment in order to stay alive. Our bodies are never at perfect, in quotes, balance all the time, but always moving a little in one direction and then the other. You know, so say you might be really hot, but then you're up in the mountains and the sun goes down and it gets really cool really fast. So that would be where it would go back and forth. Homeostasis dances with flow and movement, responding to whatever happens inside or outside the body. Now, I believe our spirits desire homeostasis, this balancing in life. I can't speak for everyone, but this is what I know is true for me. And if anybody would like to comment, you're more than welcome to call me at 646-727-2914. I do see I have a caller on the line, but I'm going to have you hold for just a little bit because I want to get through some of the things that I planned on talking about, and then I'll take some questions. So when I talk about our spirit, I can definitely interchange words with spirit, soul, higher self, or God. And it's the part of me that pushes me to be a better person, to think more. You know, we use so little of our brains to definitely love more and to intuit more. So this higher part of me has always had my back. Always. It knows, I believe it knows, what I came here to achieve, and it gently leads, cajoles, and sometimes gives me the swift kick I need to get the job done. Sometimes it's not so gentle. It's more of a bringing to your knees wake-up call, most definitely. This life is not aimless. It's not senseless, though at times it does feel like it, but it is definitely not. How does spiritual homeostasis work? Well, gentle balancing might be likened to a mother lovingly coaxing the air bubble out of their baby with patting on the back. So it's a gentle thing. And this is when you happen to find a book that puts you on the path. Or maybe you meet someone who tells you what you need to hear or tells you about a book. Or it could be late at night and you're channel surfing and you land on a very dynamic teacher who touches that higher part of you, the part that has been dormant for so long while you have trouble falling asleep.
Lydia, I'm sorry to break in. You're getting some kind of crackling, sort of scratchiness. Are you on the headset or the speaker?
No, I'm on my phone, my speakerphone.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. But
somebody is making noise, too, that I've noticed on the line. But I don't know what that is either. And it wasn't me.
It was probably me. Sorry.
Okay.
I will mute myself again. I just wanted to make sure that you knew in case there was something
to
do about it.
That call dropped, so I don't know what it was about. But anyway.
It was not. It wasn't for this show.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Okay, I'll mute myself. Sorry, folks. Okay. Just wanted to let you know they're having it's a little technical issue, but hopefully you'll be able to get all the good stuff anyway.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So now sometimes, you know, you land on a radio show and hear something that you know is true. All these, to me, are nudges from spirit. And it could be from a sweet, small voice of a child, from watching the miracle of their birth, or they look at you with such love and you feel great and humble all at the same time. Or someone mentions they'd like to travel somewhere. Now, this is how I got out of Chicago when I was 17. A friend mentioned he'd like to travel one night. And I heard that and I started thinking about that. And the next day I asked him if he'd like to hitchhike to California with me. I didn't particularly want to do that alone, and I know hitchhiking is dangerous, and I would never recommend it, but this was in the 70s, and there was a lot of hitchhiking going on. While this was not the actual start of my path, really that started at birth or maybe even before, but this was a big forward movement for me. Now, the higher part of you may also cajole you toward homeostasis. This is more of a teasing almost, or there's some humor in it. And this, for me, often comes in the form of an amusing coincidence. You take the wrong turn, and there's the person you were thinking about who happens to tell you about something, maybe a workshop she is going to, and you decide, hey, I want to go too, or they have an extra ticket. And then it's just what you need to hear. Or you have a dream that gives you the topic for your next radio program. Or you have a dream that tells you what is going to happen in the future. And 22 years later, after years wondering about the meaning of said dream, it comes to pass. This happened to me at 17. Boy, 17 was a big year for me, I think. I had a dream that an angel came to me and told me, you will be the mother of Jesus. Maybe you've heard this story before, but those of you who haven't, bear with me. So I pondered on that dream. I did not know what it meant. I was raised Catholic, so I thought, well, maybe that had something to do with it. Then I got on a spiritual path, and I was married at 19, and I told my first husband about it, and I never did get pregnant. Then I was single for 5 years. Woohoo! Best 5 years, one of the best 5 years of my life. I've had a few of those. Anyway, then I got married to my second husband, and I told him about the dream. But many years later, we applied to be foster parents, foster adopt parents, and there was a meeting, and we didn't meet the baby, but we met the baby's foster mom and got to see baby pictures of him. And then they told me that it would be 2 weeks before they told the parents who were going to get the child. There were six families interested in him, and they said, we will call the family that's going to get this baby in 2 weeks, and we'll send letters to everyone else. Well, I could barely contain myself, and even though I asked all my friends to pray for what was the best for this small child, I didn't know it was our family. I couldn't say that, and I have forced issues before and been very sorry. So I really wanted the best for this child, and, you know, I wasn't sure it was us. I thought it probably was, but I wasn't sure. Okay, so, but it was about a week and a half, and I was going crazy, and so I decided to take a walk. Well, first off, I prayed. And a lot of times I write in my journal kind of my prayers, and I ask God to give me the answer sooner than later, because I didn't think I could make it for 2 weeks. It had already been way too long in my book, probably about 10 days. And so I went walking with my dogs, and I was kind of forgetting about, you know, what I'd been thinking about for the last 10 days, and that was, if we got this baby, how would we, you know, get everything that we needed for him, and all that. Anyway, I'm walking along, and it was a gorgeous day. It was in February, and all of a sudden, I remembered that dream. But at the same moment, I remembered in the baby book and meeting the foster mother, she had told us that she worked for a Catholic church. And in that baby book, there was a picture of her foster child dressed as baby Jesus. And I had stopped and looked at it, and she said, oh, he had played baby Jesus in a play. Well, then I remembered the dream, remembered what the foster mom said, and literally just started laughing out loud. I thought it was just the most hilarious thing, and it just tickled me. You know, it was just the universe giving me a good old chuckle, and I came home. I was hanging up the dog leashes, and the phone rang, and it was our social worker, and she said, you've got him. So, you know, to me, I still get emotional when I think of that. But to me, it was amazing that God is so silly literal. You know, here I had all these other interpretations of what this dream could mean, and then couldn't get pregnant, and then decided to adopt. And, you know, anyway, it was a literal dream. I had the baby Jesus. He was so darn cute. Yeah. Okay. So that's one way. And then there's the swift kick ways of getting your higher self's attention and getting it into balance. So maybe you walk into work unsuspecting to be told there are massive layoffs afoot, and then they are starting with you. Pack up your desk. Oh, boy, that can send you reeling. Or you drag ass into a job you hate, and the crappy, clueless boss says the wrong thing, and you finally tell him or her what you really think and walk out the door. And there is a song that really reminds me of that, and that is, take this job and shove it. I ain't a working here no more. Yeah, and, you know, then you walk out, and then the next thought is, oh, my God, how am I going to pay the bills? But it felt so good to say that as you walk out the door. Anyway, so, or maybe your mate says the dreaded words, yep, we have to talk. Yeah, bum, 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 bum. And then proceeds to tell you they've cheated on you or and that they did or did not like it. That actually happened to me, and it was turned out to be a wonderful thing. At the time, it wasn't. But when he told me that he cheated on me and did not like it, my response was, you know, I have been faithful to you for 7 years, and if I cheated on you, I damn sure would have liked it. Yeah. Now, after it was over, he refused to work on our marriage. I was actually wanting to work on it, but he refused. It was the most accelerated growth times for my soul. And I am so grateful for those 5 years I had alone to spend on myself, to take classes, to read, to think. You know, instead of being busy in the bedroom with physical things, I was busy at night learning. It was a very powerful time for me, and I wouldn't take it back. In fact, when I talk to people and they've broken up from someone, I try to tell them that this is great. This is a gift, and especially for women. I'm going to stereotype. Yes, I will every now and then, but I feel that, okay, I'm not going to stereotype. I feel that there are some people in this life that are big givers. They give of themselves. They give of their energy, their love, and then there's just so very little left at the end of it all to give to themselves. And I feel this time being alone is that time to really get to know who you are, and that is such a gift. And I believe with all my heart that when you get to know who you are, you actually get to know your spirit. It shows up. You can finally see it when you get to know who you are. You are all by yourself. And I do think, you know, many great teachers have gone in the desert by themselves, and they have learned, and they have gotten connected. And I'm not saying that that is something people need to do, but I really think it's amazing to be able to spend time alone and focus on yourself. Definitely. Okay, and then there is tough love wake-up calls. And the soul's way of pouring ice water over your head when you are in a deep slumber. Yeah, and that's metaphorical, not physically. This has a lot of ways of showing up, and it's not so nice. It is a real tough love kind of wake-up call. You know, your family tells you to come over, and what you find is the family and friends gathered for an intervention. Yeah, that can be tough. Yeah. And, you know, because maybe you have an addiction of some sorts. Maybe you get in an accident, but you escape serious consequences. You know, to me, I've gotten in a couple fender benders, and I got into two fender benders. One I don't think was my fault, but was in a parking lot. And I insisted on the kid taking all my information because he's like, oh, it's okay. It's an old car. It's no big thing. Well, his parents must have talked to him and said, yeah, well, get some money. So they did. And I had never had an accident, knock on wood. And I said, yeah, let's call my insurance company. I mean, why did I pay for over, well over 30-something years to not use my insurance company. So I used it on like it was a $250 scratch. Yeah, those are very expensive these days. And anyway, so then I got into another one, and there was, I believe, that one was my fault. I wasn't really paying attention. I started backing up. And that one was a little one, too, and I, again, used my insurance company. I mean, there's some people, folks, that have an accident that costs thousands and thousands of dollars. Mine was just a couple hundred each time. And then they shot up my insurance rates big time because they said, according to their statistics, the insurance companies love statistics, and I love breaking statistics. And anyway, they said, you know, you are, because of your age and because of your two accidents, you are likely to have a third accident. So we're just going to cover our butts, even though I paid them thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars, never, ever having an accident. Anyway, so bam. Okay, but here's the good thing. It made me more aware. It made me stop and think, what the heck is going on? And I was grateful, first off, for it not being worse, but second of all, it woke me up a little bit. It made me more aware of what was going on, not only while I was driving, but I always am seeking answers. You know, life just doesn't happen to you. There are choices and consequences and thoughts that create your life. And so I tend to, if anything happens to me, I tend to look at all that. Yeah. Another way that, you know, you may get the ice cold water is through a wake-up call that I call the sucker punch. Yeah, the sucker punch, and it gives you a big wake-up call. And a sucker punch is, you know, you're going a long life and you're not really worried about anything. And, you know, this one really hurts. You know, your mate tells you that he, she has never loved you. Yeah, that's a sucker punch. That was even worse being cheated on. At least I knew that at one point he loved me. Yeah. Or you get a diagnosis of a terrible disease that you can survive it, but it will bring you to your knees in the process. Yes, I've known way too many people that have had that happen to them. Okay? I know that you guys can think of more of these incidences, and maybe they actually happened to you. So if you want to call me at 646-727-2914, I would love to take your call, get your comments, maybe your questions. Maybe something's happened and you're not sure what the heck it means. And maybe I won't know either, but maybe we can talk about it. Okay, the last one I'll talk about is the big one. It's the A-bomb of wake-up calls. And this is the one that it is impossible to ignore, well, for most of us that want to live and love. It's the one that ultimately got me on my spiritual path. The death of someone you love. Yeah, it's freaking rude. It's the big one. It's the big kahuna wake-up call. And for me, it was multiple deaths. And it was when I was very young. It started when I was 13, and the first boy I had ever kissed, he was 15, he got shot and died. Then my boyfriend's best friend, when I was 16, got stabbed and died. And the last one, you know, this was the trifecta of A-bombs in my book, was my best friend's boyfriend. You know, we were just a few days from graduating from high school. And, you know, that's supposed to be an amazing time, a happy time. Oh, yeah. And he was a year ahead of us. So during the year, he had been working on the Sears Tower building in Chicago. He woke up This was about 3 days before we graduated. And when we graduated, the very next day, him and my best friend were going to go to Germany. They had saved money, and they were in love, and they were going to go to Germany. That's where he was from originally. Anyway, he woke up, and he didn't want to go to work. And he told his dad, who happened to work on the building also, you know, I don't really want to go. And his father said to him, oh, come on, AJ, you got to go. You're going to quit in a couple days. You know, just come on, let's go. Let's go to work. And he went to work, and he fell 33 flights elevator shaft to his death. You know, and in those days, you dealt with death like most people did. You numbed out, and you pushed your feelings down, and you moved on. There were no counselors, and these senseless deaths made me question, what the heck was the freaking point? I remember feeling so angry, and, you know, what did it mean? I had no idea. It was just the kicker. You know, the first two were bad enough, but this third one was just like the topping, you know? It was the topping on a shit cake. It was so bad. And, I remember pondering, you know, is there a God? And why would a loving God do this? This was definitely my big, huge wake-up call. And I do remember going home, telling my mom that I didn't think there was a God. And my mom was not religious, but she was a very, very good person. And she did have faith. And she said to me, honey, I know there is a God. I don't know everything about this God, but I know there is a God. And she said it at a perfect time, and that also was probably my soul. She could have said, yeah, howdy, there is no God. My mom sure had a lot of stuff, a lot of wake-up calls in her life and a lot of terrible, terrible circumstances in her life. But she didn't. She said just what I needed to hear. And I think that was nothing short of miraculous. And ultimately, that is what got me to wake up. You know, I then moved out to California, and I decided somewhere within me that I was going to change my life. Up until that point, I had been pretty aimless, and, you know, my friends kind of aimless. We were just, you know, we were just confused about it all. It was the early 70s, and we didn't know what was happening. You know, I protested the Vietnam War. I knew that was wrong. But I also had friends that were there in Vietnam, and I loved them and wrote to them and supported them. There was a draft at that time, if you don't remember, and my really good next-door neighbor was number one in the draft. And, you know, he survived, thank God, but I'm sure it affects him to this day. But anyway, those are my wake-up calls. I don't know if you have a wake-up call or many wake-up calls or, you know, maybe not a severe one. Maybe, you know, you heard that still, soft, gentle rocking from your soul, and it woke you up. You know, call me at 646-727-2914. I would definitely love to hear from you. You know, homeostasis is a balancing act, and, you know, I'm just like everybody. I'm in the studio doing my work, and, you know, I get bogged down with, you know, fixing dinner, you know, cleaning the house, or, you know, all this stuff, and I forget that, you know, I need to meditate, I need to breathe, I need to center myself in whatever ways I can, and maybe I need to walk in nature, but I lose track of that, and then all of a sudden, something will happen. And, you know, someone will tell me, hey, you know, I'm going to go hear this lecture. And so I go to the lecture, and it's like, oh, yes, I know this. I know this, and I've got to listen, and I want to have a practice. I want to, you know, be able to be centered again, be in balance again. Ah, I see a friend of mine, Derek. I think this is Derek from Ireland, I think. I'm going to bring him up. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
Oh, it is my friend from Ireland. How are you today? Or England, I'm sorry. England?
Yeah, England, yeah.
It is. I'm sorry to confuse the two. It's just the accent. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, cheers. I'm good, cheers. You were talking about basically last minute, how life can really get you down. It really gets you down. And then at the last minute, you think, oh, I ain't going to do this no more. And then what happened to me was, I don't know about your story, but what happened to me...
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what happened to me was I was lying in bed. I was really down as well. I thought, this is the end of my life. You know, like, I don't care what happens. You know, come get me. I don't care. I fell asleep. And then when I was half awake, half asleep, well, I could say I was aware. I was aware that there was someone that came to me and said, and they spoke into my ear, clearly. They said, Derek, are you ready? And I answered no.
Mm-hmm.
I answered no. Now, there is a reason why I answered no. I answered no because I did not know what they were asking me. But there is also the question of, why am I here? What
mm-hmm.
in my life has brought me to this point where I've got this entity which has entered my bedroom and asked me, am I ready? Am I ready for what? I think, personally, I think he was asking me, am I ready to pass on?
Right. Well,
yeah.
You had laid down with that purpose in a way. You had said that you laid down and you said, I don't care, I want to go, or whatever the verbiage that you use with me, you know, that when you laid down, you said that. But when the entity or your higher self says, are you ready? You said no. So did that change the course of your life? Did that change the course of your life, Derek?
Oh, yes, I'll tell you something. Yes, it really did. Oh, no, it was just one simple question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
But that one simple question, yes, I'll tell you, it really did change my life. And the next day, I woke up and I stopped doing, I stopped abusing my body. I stopped, doing things. And I also looked to my family and how it reflects everything that I do. If I chose yes that night and I chose to have died, which is what I think this thing was, I think it was offering me a way out.
Mm-hmm.
If I had chosen to have died, then you see everything that would have erupted all around you. You think you're significant. You think you don't know what's going on. You think you're there. You know, everyone talks about you. You're really paranoid. But when that one person in the whole center of your being, when that one person goes, it really does create a whole crater in your family. It's something that was there, which is gone. It's a crater, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else can fill that, you know? So
it brings you. It can definitely bring you to your knees. You know,
yes.
The person who's left. I mean, that's what happened to me. I had three people pass, young people. You know, when an older person passes, a lot of times you can say, "Well, they had a life," and you can rationalize it, even if it puts a big hole in your heart. You know, and you miss them terribly, at least you can, you know, we are all going to die at some point. We are all going to pass on, and that, you know, no one gets out of this life alive. That's for darn sure. So that's going to happen. But when a young person passes, it's very confusing for you to be able to see that. How it could affect your family. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, it depends on what kind of person you are. If you're a very greedy person, then I would have took his offer. I would have said, yep, you know, I'm all in. I would have put all my cards down on the table, plus one, plus another, plus another. I would have put them all down. I would have put all my cards down. But the person I was talking to didn't have all the cards. I can see that there's a lot more that I can do in this world. You know, it's not my time yet. He's asking me, you know, are you out? Are you in or are you out?
Mm-hmm. And you're in.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that to him. I didn't say that to him. I told him no. Because
right.
I didn't understand. I didn't fully understand the question he was asking me.
Mm-hmm.
So I said no.
Well, are you, when you woke up, were you glad you didn't understand?
When I woke up, the first thing I'd done was went and had a shower, had a cup of tea, and carried on my daily life as if normal was what I'd done. And at the back of my mind, I thought to myself, you know, life's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not though. It's not. I mean, I know you got them all this. The only things in life which make life bad is people.
Mm-hmm.
People make life bad.
I don't know. You know, my thought is that your perception or the power that you give those people, because if let's just take a very easy example. Say you love someone, but they don't love you. Now, you could think that that person is making your life bad, but I am of the belief that no one can make you do or feel anything. Yeah, it hurts. It's not what you want, but it's still up to you how you're going to take that. I have been rejected before. And now, hindsight, I can see how it was the absolute best thing. And I am so grateful for that person for rejecting me. At the time, I might have even thought, although I was kind of ahead of that, these kind of type of feelings, but I could have even thought that, well, that person, you know, that person made me so sad by rejecting me. But I believe I was far enough along on a spiritual path that I was hurt and I allowed myself to feel the hurt, but I also decided that, you know, there's something better for me.
Yeah, that's what
you know what I'm talking about? How you know, and you know, and so someone can take your possessions, but they still can't make you feel bad. You're going to give them your power. I mean, possessions are possessions. Who the hell cares? You know, I had a car stolen from me, and I had worked so hard to get this car. First I worked hard, saved up the money, bought the car. Then every week it was an older Volkswagen VW Bug, not the newer kind. I'm talking the old one. But this was in the 80s, and actually it was the late 70s, sorry. And every week I would put, you know, I needed to get this done and this done and this done, and I was completely done except the next week I was going to take my paycheck and some of the money I saved and buy new tires for it. But before I could do that, someone stole it, and I never, ever, ever saw that car again. And the only thing I could think of was, I'm glad I'm not hurt. I'm glad I'm not. It could always be worse.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, this same entity that spoke to me in them two little words when I was down and out and I was, you know, I'd had enough. I was gone. That's it. You know, I'm like, right, that's it. I've had enough. In them two little words, are you ready? Well, wait, three, isn't it? Are you ready? And then three little words, I thought to myself, nah, not yet.
Right.
Not yet. There's a little bit more left in me yet. You know? You know?
I would dare say, Derek, I would dare say there's a little bit more left in you. Now, how have you changed your life because of those three little words? I mean, besides possibly getting clean, you know, getting sober, whatever you were doing, you know, how else? I mean, are you, how else, Derek?
Well, to be honest, I'm still the same me. I still drink. I still smoke. I still eat. I still shit, same as everyone else does. Yeah. And that is the honest opinion of how I can see it, because every single person on this planet eats, drinks, yeah, smokes, and shits. So I, basically, what that little lesson of them, whoever it was one person, whoever it was, what they told me, basically, thinking about it now, I am the same as everybody else on this planet. Because everybody else does exactly the same thing as what I do. So I'm not indifferent. I'm just the same as everybody else. So it doesn't matter.
You know, Derek, I think it does matter, and I do think that you are special. Not that everyone else isn't. You know, you are a unique being. You have a fingerprint that is unlike anyone else's in the world. And today I listened to a quote. I'm going to get it wrong, and she was asked, what is the soul? And she said she felt the soul was the fingerprint of God. And each one of us, I believe, you can take it or leave it, but I believe has a soul, a spirit, a higher self, God within you, whatever you want to call it. And that actually makes you unique. And you, Derek, I believe, have something to offer.
Yeah,
can I ask
well,
you
I'm,
how? Can I ask
well, yeah.
you how old you are?
I'm 37.
Oh, you're a baby. You're just a wee babby.
I'm a bab. Yeah. Yeah, I've got a daughter as well. My daughter.
No.
Let me say, she's 37 and a half. Yeah, you know, let
okay.
me say.
All righty.
I'm 37 and a half. You know, I do have a half, and she's 15
uh-huh.
years old, my daughter. And she is the greatest thing on this earth I've ever produced. She's amazing. I love her to bits. And she has also taught me a hell of a lot more than what I could actually see for myself in this world. Because, you know, like teenagers give you shit, don't they? They're like, oh, I want my tongue pierced. I want my belly button pierced. I want a tattoo on this, on that. And you've been there, you've seen it, you've done it, you know, with your mates.
Yeah.
But now it's time
I have
for
a son.
Yeah. Now it's
mm-hmm.
time for you to try and pass on that knowledge
mm-hmm.
to your siblings. But it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard.
Your children. Because they
think they're that open, don't they?
Right. Although, you know, Derek, what I think children do is they listen with watching. You know, I mean, you can say, blah, 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 don't do this, don't do that. But what they see you do is more powerful than anything you can say to them. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, you've just hit the nail on the head right there. Just by that one sentence you said was listen by watching.
Right. You know, I mean, I think, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Charlie Brown cartoons, seen or watched them or whatever, but in Charlie Brown, you know, they have the teacher that's trying to talk to Charlie Brown, and what he hears is, wah, 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 wah. He doesn't even hear words. And I think, especially teenagers, this is a tough time.
That's like my daughter.
It's the toughest time. And let me tell you, I'm a girl, and you have a daughter. And let me tell you, it is so tough. And what I want to tell you, Derek, is one of the best things that you can give your daughter is your love, not your judgment. So she does something stupid. That's what youth is for. Youth is for doing stupid stuff. I mean, you wish and pray that they don't do anything as stupid as to affect their lives for the rest of their lives. But, you know, they do stupid things. They might sneak out and get a tattoo. They might dye their hair orange with pink polka dots. You know, they might wear way too much makeup and silly clothes. But it's okay. You know, the hair is going to grow out. The tattoo, well, that's another story, but, you know, they can cover it up sometimes and or whatever. Maybe it's a cool tattoo. I happen to like tattoos. It's a great art form.
Everything you've just said, I've done myself.
Yes, but if you love your daughter, especially for girls, and you're a guy, so you might not know this, but let me tell you, I never felt that I had my father's love. And so consequently, I made some real dumb choices with men, really dumb. And your daughter still may make some silly choices with men, but if she knows that her daughter, I mean, that her father not only loves her, but accepts her and actually celebrates the quirky parts, the parts that we try to disregard because we want to fit in so bad as teenagers. You know, if you say, honey, you know, if you want to go be a musician, you go be a musician or an artist or a mom or whatever her heart's desire, what her heart is calling for her, because she has that unique fingerprint in life also. She is a unique person. But you need to, you know, Derek, I can just tell you that I love you. I think you are an amazing person, and it's not only because you called me up twice, but I just get a kick out of your honesty. I really do. But I'm telling you that your soul has a greatness. And, you know, I'm not talking greatness. You're, more, you know, next new musical phenomenon or anything like that. Your greatness might be in loving your daughter. Like I said, loving her in a way that is not judgmental, that is there, that accepts her, that comforts her when she does stupid things. Yeah, you might have to, you know, bite your tongue, or you might just reiterate that, hey, honey, you know, driving the car a little too fast is dangerous after she gets in a fender bender or whatever, but that you are really there for your daughter.
You see, I don't do that. I don't do that to my daughter. What I do is I'm the rock. She says to me, Dad, should I drive? I'm like, no. She's like, Dad, I've just met this man called Sean, and he's really nice. He's a guitarist. And I'm like, you will not see that man. I'm the rock. I'm not the nice guy. I'm the rock. You know, I'm the man says, oi, what are you doing? You know, I'm not the nice guy.
Well, but
I'm the brick wall.
Okay, but that's also loving. And yes, kids need discipline. My friend Brenda, who's on the line, she will tell you that in a heartbeat. But kids need boundaries and discipline. So that in that way, you're a rock. But yet, your daughter knows, Derek, that even though you're the rock, that you love her, right?
Yeah, I'm the bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not a bad guy, Derek. You're a big old softy, and I know it.
Yeah, but she'll see that. She'll see that.
She will see that. She will see that, and yes, she does need those boundaries right now, and I think that is really, really good. But, you know, I don't believe we're all alike. Yes, we're alike in our bodies. Our bodies have to eat and breathe and drink and then get rid of all of it. Yes, that our bodies have to do that, but what I'm talking about today is spiritual, you know, is that part of us that is unique, that is uniquely us, but not our bodies. We like to say around this station that we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Do you get that?
Yeah, I've got you. Yeah, yeah. She can have her physical experience. She can have her mental experience as long as I'm there drawing the lines, you know?
But what about with Derek? Now, are you with the mother or are you divorced or separated?
Divorced.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, but so, and you're a good role model for your daughter. Let's hope.
Yeah, well, I'll tell her right from wrong. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right from wrong.
Yeah.
That is good. But what are you doing for Derek? What are you doing for Derek's spiritual path at this moment? Besides listening to this show, which I think is really good, that, you know, it may be a radio show that is going to put you on the path. Do you think you're on a spiritual path in your life, Derek?
Me, myself, I could be. I do not believe.
I'm not talking religious. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking spiritual. It's higher than religious.
Spiritual, yeah, yeah, spiritual.
Yeah.
I believe I've lived this lifetime many times.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I know best, but that might be a male thing. I do think that there is a being. Well, not a being, not a living thing, but a certain consciousness that rules the universe, I could say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not rules, sort of lets us rule. Like a, I don't know, but I don't believe in God. I don't believe in any of this stuff that the old scriptures say, because to me that's just like a, you know, old school. But what I do believe, what I believe, is that you need to live the life that you've been given by whomever to your fullest and best than what you can do. You need to try and be good to other people because that's just how it goes. And I also believe that if you're not good, if you fall out with one person, basically what I'm saying is that every person you meet on this planet Earth is you will be a different person to each and every person which you meet. It all depends on how you see that person.
Yes. Yes. So see others as you would like to be seen. And that's why I say that when you love, it really starts with yourself. Because until you can love yourself, you really can't love other people. And I'm with you. I can call that energy that is within everyone and everything. You know, science tells us that, you know, there is one energy within every particle, with every atom, and I believe that that is God. I can call it God, but some people have other names for it, an energy, love, consciousness, you know, intelligence, whatever you want to call it. I'm comfortable with calling it God, but I was raised Catholic, and, you know, there is, they put a lot of images in my head, and when I say the word God, not so much anymore, but I think of this old man in white robes that can be as mean as hell loving. I don't buy that for an instant. I don't believe it is human as we know it. It is a higher. It's higher. And we're part of its consciousness.
Yes. You believe what you just described. You believe the same thing I believe. I believe there is a higher power, but it's not what the 2,000-year-old book has been written about. Women are, you know, women are this, you know, they're secondary beings. Right. They should be this, you know, I don't believe that. What I believe is a 21st century view of the Earth and the entire solar system that surrounds us and all the galaxies that surround us as well. I believe that the human race has a better option than religion.
Yes, I do too. And it is a way of keeping us separate when what I believe is we are all one.
Yeah.
You know, because, it's like the ocean. It's like the ocean. The ocean, you look out at the ocean, and it's all ocean. And then you take a cup of water, or maybe you take your little daughter's pail when she was a little girl, and you dip it into the ocean. Now, what is in the pail the ocean? It's separate from the ocean at that point, but it's still the ocean. And that's how we are. We are all part of this higher power, this higher consciousness, and but we have these separate bodies, so it appears that we're separate.
Yeah, it does. It does appear that we're separate, but it only appears that we're separate. It's because that's what you've been told. That's what you've been told ever since you was born.
Well,
you've been told that you are a separate being. You are separate from all these different animals and organisms on the planet. But really, you're all the same.
We are all the same, most definitely. And we are all the same, but we are all unique. I do want to reiterate that. We are, we're incorporating this body that, appears to be separate from each other, but yet we are all one, but also we are an expression of this higher power, and I believe we are all here to express that in our own ways. I don't know everything, and I don't know, the way I know things is because I just know them in my heart. And I don't know if you heard the beginning of this, but I have had many experiences that have put me on this spiritual path of learning. And there's people that are, we're all on the same path. We may think of ourselves on a different, that guy's, he's behind me or she's in front of me or whatever, but really we're just all on the path. And it doesn't matter, where we are on the path. I think it's important to recognize that there is a path.
Yeah, well, you've just made me smile. What you just said 30 seconds ago just made me smile. And you were saying that every single living thing, basically what you were saying,
mm-hmm.
in my mind, is that every living thing on this planet is a human, an earthling. Every living thing on this planet is an earthling. Every fox, every dog, every cat, it's an earthling. It's an earthling because it was born and raised on Earth, together. Yeah, together as one, as we see what's going on. It's not even all about, let me give you an example. I'll give you an example. I was talking to my mother about a week ago that NASA has just found a new planet 20 light years away from Earth, I do believe it was. 20 light years away from Earth. And the thing, when they looked at it, this planet was blue. It was blue. Now, when you look at a planet 20,000 light years away from Earth and it's blue, it's blue. What does it mean? What does it mean? If a planet's blue, if you're looking at it through a telescope, how primitive our views are, and this planet is blue, it means that there must be water upon this planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if it's blue, there's water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
It's okay, Dirk. I usually do that too. But I do want to thank you for calling me again and thank you for listening. I just really appreciate, you're across the pond, but you have your different ideas. And I think there are reasons why you call me. I just feel this connection with you. Maybe you're a brother in another lifetime. I'm not sure, but I just really want to tell you that
there is the light of truth. And if you are in darkness at all, just let me know, but I'm going to be shining light your way across the pond, because I just feel that there is a part of you that, well, we all need it. And I just want you to know that I just think of you as a brother. So I appreciate that you called. And
yeah.
I hope that you call again, because I'm going to end my show in a little bit here. So I want to wrap things up.
It's a little bit of me which has been given to you, and you've given me a little bit of you. So that's all good.
Yeah. It is all good to me, too. And you have an awesome week, okay?
And you, too. Look after yourself.
I will. I will definitely. I'm going to put you on hold. You can still listen. You don't have to hang up. But I did want to ask right now if Brenda had anything to weigh in on before I start wrapping things up.
Well, I mean, it was a wonderful show. Both Nina and I were getting a little emotional listening to Baby Jesus. We love that story.
I do too. Always. Yeah.
And as far as the things, tough love, I almost wanted to jump right in because that's sort of my big, my big modus operandi is tough love.
I know that. Yeah.
I totally believe in homeostasis. I totally believe in that and how we actually, from a spiritual point of view, even people who don't necessarily believe in their spiritual side, I believe it's still reining us in for our highest good, even where we're not there. So,
yep. And I believe if you look at
homeostasis.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's taking place. The homeostasis, even from an anatomy and physiology point of view, it's what the body is attempting to do autonomically. So that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to say. I believe that
mm-hmm.
from a spiritual view, regardless of your thought process, your body is trying to keep you in homeostasis, not only socially, spiritually, physically, and all. It's all phases of what helps your little meat suit strive on this earth thrive on this earth.
Yeah.
And as far as me, like you were talking about the different things with the deaths and even with Derek getting a, something saying, are you ready? I was listening to that, I was thinking, his perspective of where it was coming from is extremely valid, and it could also be the spirit just asking, are you ready to get on with your life? Which, could mean the same thing to some people. So, but a lot of times we don't self-reflect on where we are, where we're going, where we've been. Which is a good thing for us to do. I read your post about the post-traumatic stress disorder that I experienced,
mm-hmm.
and that was a huge homeostasis type event in my life, because my life, it was on a trajectory that wasn't really, probably where I needed to be.
Right.
I had a mission. And so it's not that I was doing anything that was really creepy or harmful to me, just that I was destined for other things, just like I believe that Derek was and you are and all of us are.
All of us are. And it's funny, this tuning into this show or listening in the archives, you can have an aha moment and completely get back on the path that you were really meant to be, which is our soul's journey. We put on the meat suit, as Brenda likes to say, and I love that. We put on the meat suit, and I think after a few years after being born, we kind of forget the mission that we signed up for. And some people, it always blows me away. Some people are so aware and present and continue on their path and just get it done. They get her done, you know. It's just they do it. But other people get turned around so many times that they forget which path they're on or what they're supposed to be here for. So, you know, it can be as simple as this radio show whispering in your ear, or it can be as horrific as being assaulted, you know. But if it, I think at times our soul just wants to wake us up, and that is the most important. It can do it gently with a rocking motion, like a mother, you know, singing to her child to wake up, or it can be, you know, it can be the sucker punch or, you know, the ice bath. It could be all of those things. It just depends. But if we look at it, like I said, you know, when the third person died in my life, young person, I really and truly had to think of what the heck did it mean? You know, it was a huge wake-up call for me, and I finally started listening. But with that, folks, I'm going to end the show because
One minute, please, Lydia. I would like to say something before you go
I'd love
on.
For you to say something. I'd love for you to say something, Nina. Sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you very much for having this show today. It was a real big eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people. You know I am on a path, and I know where my path is. Mm-hmm. But I think with your words, you have touched not only Derek, but hopefully quite a few other people. Derek had me in tears a couple of times because I could feel his pain. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just thank him very much for being on the show as well, because him speaking the way he did and being so open and honest with all of us is really important. Like what he had to say and what you had to say today is so important for everybody. Listen, people. Just listen to your souls. You've got it in you. You can do this.
Thank you again, Lydia. Oh, Nina, I love you so much, and I know that you feel things so strongly, and I do. I feel this brotherhood with Derek, and, you know, I would like to ask the three of us or anyone that's listening to send Derek the light of love. Just
already
send it right
doing
over
it.
The pond. I know that, and I'm doing it too, and I'm sure Brenda is, and because he's reached out to me now, not just once, twice, and to me that is not a coincidence. You know, he doesn't just land on this radio show, and I just want him to know that he is definitely loved, as everyone that's listening is loved. And I do want to say that there are quite a few radio shows on this network. This is the Essence of Success Network. And it is owned by a woman and run by women. Nina is the manager, so, you know, if you got any problems, you call her up. No, you talk to her while we're on the air. Or she's in the chat room always. There is a chat room. You can listen to the archives. And today is Saturday, so that means tomorrow, I'm really bright today, is Sunday. And Sunday is the psychic show at 3 o'clock. Is that right? 3 o'clock?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Pacific time. And that's with Lennis, and she's the owner of our network, the creator of our network. And so call in. Ask her a question. She's been having a lot of calls. So, you want to get in early and you want to call her and ask a question. She's glad to help. On Mondays, we have LNB, Passage to Empowerment. The L stands for Lydia, the N stands for Nina, and the B stands for Brenda. And we are all there to empower you. And next week's program is at, it's always at 8 o'clock. That's Pacific time, so do the math if you're on the East Coast. Next week's show will be
Lydia, I got to
interrupt
you. It's at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Mountain.
Okay.
All right, 7 o'clock. Yes, hello. I'll get it right sometime. And I'm going to try and eat beforehand this time, but I'm usually out in the garden. So anyway, so, and it's going to be mental health. Aren't we going to be talking about mental health in honor of Mental Health Week?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So please tune in. We have a lot of thoughts about it, and it's always empowering. So Tuesday is BYO Brilliance. And that is Brenda's show, and it is on at 6 o'clock Pacific time. And, Brenda, what's your show going to be on this week?
It's the Brilliance of Seeking Help through the mental health system, yeah.
Excellent.
And we'll
especially
be talking about stigma associated with seeking help in mental health.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. And then the 16th, I'm sorry, then the 9th, which is Wednesday, is Lennis's show in the studio. And she talks about, you know, the current topics and that type of thing. And that is at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock?
Seven o'clock Pacific.
Okay.
But she'll
and
also
then
be
at,
talking in keeping, she'll also be in keeping with our mental health focus of the week. And she'll be talking about how mental health issues impact relationships.
Ah, oh, that'll be really interesting. And on Thursday, we have Filmcology. That's also with Brenda. What's the film going to be this week?
It's Nuts, the movie Nuts with Barbara Streisand. And it'll be reviewing some of the processes that go with accessing mental health care, some of the negative events and some of the positive ones. So,
and that's at 6 o'clock Pacific time. And then we
correct.
Have Friday, we have Traffic Jam. This is ready. This is a show filled with music. I don't know if she has a theme this week, but it is at 6 o'clock at Pacific time, and it's really geared 5 o'clock.
Pacific.
Maybe we ought to just go to 6 o'clock, all of us, and then I'll know. Okay, so whatever, 5 o'clock Pacific time, so 6 o'clock my time. I'm in the mountains. And you know, she gets you ready for the weekend, so tune into that. And then in keeping with our mental health series, I'm going to be talking about how you got to be a little bit crazy. And that is also about mental health. And basically, I will be talking about being your authentic self, even if people say that you're crazy. You know, maybe you march to the beat of your own drummer. I know I try to, and people have called me crazy, and I wear it like a badge of honor. I'm not to diminish any mental health problems, but I believe that sometimes squelching your authentic self then brings out imbalances. And so that's what I'll be talking about. So, any last words, ladies?
Just a wonderful show, Lydia. Thank you very much for doing this today. You are awesome.
Well, thanks, Spirit, because they gave me it, you know. I mean, I learned to listen. When they say homeostasis in my dream three times, I'm like, you better believe I'm going to figure things out. You know, I'm slow on the uptake sometimes, but not when it comes to my dreams. So, folks,
exactly.
I hope you have the most amazing week. Tune in anytime. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm going to end with my favorite song. Love you guys. Love you all. Thank
love
you.
Love you.
I do love you. And Derek, too.
Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. See?
Y'all have a great week. I love you. See you next week. Bye.